Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. Hey, how you doing? I give a shit. I really give a shit about you. I'm thinking about you. You know what? We're all lonely. I've been reading all this stuff lately about loneliness, and everybody's really lonely. So I want you to know that if you're lonely, I care. I do. I really do. I care about it. I'm trying, as I say, I'm trying to fix the planet one person at a time. I really care about other people because I got so fucked as a kid. I'm really excited about my guest today. But I just wanted to share more. I guess I'm in a sharing mood today. I'm back in couples therapy. I think I mentioned that last week. And I just want to tell you, it's really been good. So this was my second week with my husband, and it's help because it makes you feel hopeful. This is the thing. The fact that my husband goes to therapy with me and listens and it feels a little like he's taking some action, but because I'm perfect and he's not, it's never enough action. I mean, you know, that's, who wants to live with me? I can't believe the guy fucking asked me to marry him anyway. So there you go. All right, let's get down to this. I have big news. The big news is that Radio Free Brooklyn is having one of their first Thursday live shows tonight at the Well. This is very, very big news. You must come to it. It is so good. It's going to be really good. Have you been to the Well? The Well is fabulous. I'm really excited that we're doing these shows there. And today, or this evening, it's going to be a video launch party for Deitra, but we're also having Thurston Ray, the Lord Calverts, and Deitra on the bill. And I think it starts at 8. And am I right? 8?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Did you hear that voice? This is hot. I'm going to have a really hard time staying on my side of the desk today. Did you hear that voice? Okay. Anyway, so you should come to that. And today I'm going to be talking with Thurston Ray, who is awesome. He's got a gorgeous voice, right? So let me tell you a little about Thurston Ray, just really briefly, and then he's going to tell you more about him than I. We'll find out. We're going to find out what the fuck his deal is. I'll tell you that much. Are you worried, Thurston? Feeling a little self-conscious, like, oh, shit, she's going to really try and dig in? And
I'm good. People should see my face. I'm looking like, what are we going to talk about? No, I'm good with this.
Yeah, do you have a lot of skeletons in the closet we can take out and dance with?
Oh, man. You can't, you're going to need any more than an hour.
We'll find out. He's a good guy, I can tell. Anyway, the thing that I want you to know about Thurston, that I've done the research that I've done, this is what I think is really interesting about him. First of all, he comes from a small town, Montrose, Virginia. His grandfather was a preacher, which I think is really interesting, which is probably partly how he got into music and stuff. And he was one of those really creative. He's described as romantic, optimistic, and uniquely familiar. He sounds so well adjusted. I can't believe he's in therapy with me. So it just says he's a Brooklyn, New York based bass baritone vocalist who blends groovy soul music, jazzy vocals, and messages about real life and love. He started out as a spoken word artist, though, which I think is also really interesting. Yeah. So, Thurston, we want to focus on your music. So can you explain your music, and then we're going to play a song.
Okay. So how do you explain this music? So the music is, like you said, it's a blend of R&B soul music, but it's kind of whatever comes out of me, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. I don't like to box it into one thing because it's just, it's a little jazzy, but it's a little bit soulful. There's spoken word mixed in there. It can be aggressive at times, so it's not, and then sometimes it can be very laid back and chill. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of different things. Mm-hmm. All of it is music that I've written, that come from me and thoughts that I may have been pondering over.
So would you say your main thing, I mean, it seems to me is the writing of the writing, the music, the creation of the music, and your vocals. Can we say those are your... those are your main things?
Yeah, those are my main things. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's what I thought. That was my impression, folks. I'm no music expert, in case you can't tell.
Yeah.
So we're going to play, not like the people on the station anyway. So we're going to play the first song, and it's called Love is Love. Just tell us briefly about this.
Love is love. Love is love. It's a phrase that we hear often, and it's just about the fact that this world needs more love, and it doesn't matter where you get it from or how you get it or who you get it from. We need to keep spreading it around. That's what it's about.
Okay. And here we go.
Yeah.
It's just good to be alive with love in your life. And I believe in my soul that love keeps us alive. It keeps us rising. It's just a simple remedy for so many things. Can we love unconditionally? What the world needs today is more love. It may sound cliche, but this is the way. And love is, love is. It don't matter who you are, you deserve to know love in your lifetime. I believe we are a part of what keeps hope alive when love is thriving. It's just a simple remedy for so many things. Can we love unconditionally? There is no need for shame. Be who you are and love today in your way. Cause love is, love is, love is love.
That was awesome. Oh. You know, music is so magical to me. It's like one of those mediums that I have no idea how it's made, where it comes from, any of that. And I like it that way because it's just so, I'm so grateful to be able to appreciate it on just a real visceral level. And I really, really, really enjoyed that. Thank you. thank you. Thank you for making that.
Oh, you're welcome.
You made that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How'd you make that?
I made that. I mean, I got with the band and we had some, we got together and we just, I have a few core musicians that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time I have an idea and I'll bring it to musicians, or I have an idea and I may twinkle a little bit on the keyboard myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'll pull the musicians in and then they kind of take it to another level.
So when you go in a studio, do you pretty much know what you're going to do by the time you get there? Or is it, there's some like screwing around in there?
There's some screwing around in there for sure.
Is that typical of musicians?
I think this day and age, depending upon what your setup is, you know, for me, there's definitely, usually I know what I want to do for the most part, but then when we get in there, there's other things that we'll play with. It's not just straightforward. Mm-hmm. Like you go ahead and do this.
That stuff costs by the hour.
Yeah. So especially when you have live musicians. So if for that reason, we try to be most, you know, on point as we can.
But you know, before you go in there, you're like, I'm not going to have this sewed up by the time I get in there. Right? Because it won't be good. You can't do it that way.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to.
There's a lot of things that just have to be done like spontaneously and us just with chemistry.
Yeah. Oh man, that's horrible. So you don't see, I like to have everything all worked out. when I get it done, it's done.
Plotted it in place. And
Yeah. Or, you know, when I perform live, you know, if I'm doing something live, I'm okay with that. Because to me, like, that's cooking. They're there. They're going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's done, either they liked it or they didn't, but I don't have to look at it again.
Yeah.
So I'm okay. And I'm, you know, I'm not like recording music or anything. So I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how you feel about playing tonight. What's that like for you? Have you been thinking about it? When you came in, we were like getting all organized and stuff. And then we almost forgot that we had to like tell people, come to the well.
Yeah, come to the well. And
eat. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there watching you, man.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about that? Like, what's that like?
I go in at 8:30 and I'm excited about it. I came to Radio Free Brooklyn one time before and did another show with DJ Nenum, and I guess they heard some music and they liked it, so they invited me to come back to this this thing. So I'm excited about it. Like, it's going to be an interesting blend of artists. Like, it's a
huge compliment. I want to give you a shout out. That Rob and Matt, the music directors, are very, very knowledgeable and very fussy. If you get on a you know, showcase with them or whatever, they pick you to play. That's live. That's a big deal. Like, they don't screw around. They know what they're doing.
Well, I'm honored because I just want to just take the music and play it to whoever wants to hear it, you know, and let it be what it is, you know.
Are you going to have a band? You have a band, or are you going to do it by yourself?
Oh, I definitely have a band.
You have a band.
So it's always kind of spontaneous. We play off each other. And sometimes every show I notice is just different. We do different things.
So you got your guys.
Yeah, I got them.
Is that fun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys like really like hanging.
Yeah. I have a few core musicians that I work with, and we've been kind of continuing to work together. And they worked on this project with me.
Uh-huh.
And so it's cool. It's really cool to have some consistency.
You know, funny, everybody always thinks like bands are like, they're like, you know, like everybody in the band is so happy together. But, you know, then you find out, like, you know, you read one of those Rolling Stone biographies and you're like, that's fucked up.
Well, I mean, this group, you know, they kind of, because we're not really considered like a band that's like a band, I'm like the artist and then I kind of hire them. But it is a band because we, the same musicians I usually work with,
you know,
and they kind of center around what the energy I give off. So I'm very grateful that we work out.
That you have people that you like working with. It's also probably easier in a certain way when you have people that you're actually hiring because it's clear what the roles are.
Yeah.
And and because they're getting paid, whatever it is they're getting paid, that's the role they're in.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably love it, but, you know, they know that they're professionals and everybody's cool. I think that's probably a good way to work as a musician.
Yeah, we work, I think, and they... Yeah. I appreciate them a lot, and they know that I really do, because I'm nothing on that stage without the musicians giving all their energy.
Well, I'm going to be there tonight. I'm going to be judging how well the band gets.
All right.
How much I'm going to be asking them if they really like working with you. And I'm going to try and find out all that stuff. You know
what's really going on? Like, do you really like Thurston?
Yeah, Thurston said that you like working with him. Is that true?
Yeah. I hope they tell you the same thing. I think so. I think that they love me. I think there's a lot of love on that stage.
You seem like a really positive person.
I try.
So now, I'm a very cynical, person. Where's the positivity come from?
Oh, man. You know what?
I don't buy it. You know what? I am so cynical that I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, that's bullshit. He's like acting so like everything's great and love and this and that. I'm like, come on. I can barely get along with my own husband. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm real. Like it. I try to stay positive and optimistic, but I'm definitely not. I'm real. I'm real because it ain't always pretty. No. And being an artist is
sucks.
I love the music. I love what I do, but it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's a real challenge, mm-hmm. like working and then mm-hmm. doing the music and trying to make it all work. And
so I'm wondering if you said your grandfather was a preacher. Was he a big influence on you?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, my grandfather was.
Did you grow up near him or with him, or how was he in your, what role did he have in your life growing up?
Well, I grew up with my mom and dad, and I had two older sisters. My grandfather, we were all in the same area, and so we would go to church, and my grandfather was a preacher, and so
small town in Virginia.
Small town in Virginia. Everybody knows everybody.
So, right.
That type of totally different from New York. And it was, I got a lot of love for Westmoreland, Montrose, Virginia. I have a lot of love for that place. But I love New York now. New York is
too small. Artists got to get out of there.
I had to get out of there. Yeah.
So was your grandfather like the preacher for the whole town then?
No, it's not. No, that's, I have that's no a, idea. There are a few preachers in the area. Yeah. He was one of the preachers.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea. But like, I have no idea how this shit works. I mean, my parents wouldn't even let me go to Hebrew school, you know? So, is it one of those things where like your family and your friends all went to, a preacher has, the, is that the guy at the flock with the church? How's it work?
So there's several churches in the area where I grew up. Uh-huh. My grandfather actually wasn't the pastor of the church that I went to.
Oh, okay.
He was in a church a little further away in another county.
Oh.
But still in kind of the same atmosphere. But there was a lot of interaction because he was a member of that church.
What did you think about, but you saw him preach?
Yeah, I saw him preach, yeah.
So what was that like for you as a kid? Like, how did that affect you?
I really appreciate it. I loved his preaching and his singing, and his voice is kind of deep and husky, so I think I get a little bit of that from him. And he's always was very sincere. So that was kind of like a thing, I think, that I gravitate towards. And as I perform, I kind of take on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Did you say, I want to be like him someday?
No, I can't say that. I do appreciate him. I can't say I want to be
but
like him.
But you weren't like, I want that job.
No, I didn't. No, I was not that one. I really appreciate and love my grandfather, and I look up to him, but I never, and in some ways I have wanted to be like him.
Right.
But overall, I've never said I want to be a preacher. No.
Why not? You're not like idealistically positive about that. Why not?
As much as I grew up in church and I love the people of the church, I've kind of honestly grown a little bit back away from church myself.
Are you religious? Do you go to church? Are you religious in a traditional way?
Not really. No.
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 You would classify yourself as spiritual, probably.
Yes, that's
spiritual,
what I would,
but yeah. Not religious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta say that still confuses me a little bit. But
it's all confusing.
We could get into the the minutiae of that, but yeah. I get it. I mean, I could broadly get it. Mm. So you don't really, do you find, so is organized religion isn't your thing?
I'm kind of in between. I think I appreciate it, and I do attend church every now and then. Like if I go back home. A lot of times I'm going back home and I'm spending time with my family, so I go to church to see my family. Mm-hmm. But I feel like on a regular basis, I feel like I have my own relationship with the Creator. And I pray mm-hmm. on my own.
Oh, you do pray though.
Yeah, I do.
So
pray,
you're so. In that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool that you worked that out.
I believe in a higher
yeah,
power for sure. I believe
that
that mm-hmm. there's something that allows me to be here and do what I do. I and that all the things that are happening for a reason.
Yeah, because so. Music is magic. Yeah. So you yeah. kept some of that, but you made it your own, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that. I would say that. And, you know, my mom and dad, I love and appreciate them too for bringing me up in that atmosphere. But as I've gotten older, I just tend to, you know, forge my own path, as I guess you should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's got to like tune into who they are and do what they think works for them.
Yeah.
Integrity, that's what we call that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess so, yeah. I'm still figuring
Except
this
for
whole
that
thing
job.
Out. I definitely don't have the answers, like all the answers. I'm figuring it out. So when you hear the music, you'll hear and you'll see, mm-hmm. okay, he's figuring things out, cuz I'm asking questions. So mm-hmm. it's not always I don't have the answers. Mm-hmm. I'm figuring
so
out
So a
like
lot of
people.
Your music is a way of putting out things that you're thinking about, not trying to convert people or tell people something.
Exactly. Huh. Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you get feedback on that? People don't take music that literally, maybe, or what do you think? How does it work? Are you getting feedback? What, like, do you get feedback on the music, but do you get feedback on those questions? Like give me an example of a question that you might be asking in one of your, in music. If it's literal, if you can't, but.
A literal question. Well, I do have a song called Who Are You, but and that it's a little different, but that's a song called Who Are You, and I'm asking the question. I'm looking at my life and trying to figure out and dreaming and what it would be like to be in love and trying to find that person, and who are you, will you appear? So that's a question that was asked. But also, I think I'm also trying to think what else I've ask question wise.
I got more of a writer brain, so I wind up asking very literal things, but do you mean when questions just maybe what you mean is they're less defined, or what did you mean? That's a better question. What did you mean when you said my music asks questions?
When I said that, I was meaning that my music doesn't give you all the answers, like this is the way that you get to hear, this is that. It's more of dealing within the moments of life, and not necessarily having all the answers to it.
Mm-hmm.
So like for one, I guess for example, I have a song called I Just Want to Know That You Know That I'm Here. It's called I'm Here. But mm-hmm. it's talking about it's talking about a moment where I think everybody wants to be loved, everybody wants to be seen, everybody wants to be heard. And that's a phrase, and everybody wants to be heard and seen. So it's kind of opening that realm of what we want as people, and not so much giving you the answer that you have to give me something per se. And I feel like I'm random. Mm-hmm. I'm rambling.
No,
right
no.
Now,
what I'm getting is that you're more abstract than I mean, I'm learning here. Uh-huh. So you're what you're putting out there is somewhat abstract, like asking a more universal question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe putting a shape or a form onto questions that are out in the world that you make into a song.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah.
There
I think
we go.
A lot of universal, I think we're getting there. Yeah. Universal. See? Universal thing. A lot of things about what I write about, I think, are things that everybody can identify with,
right,
in one way or another.
It's So you're writing more, maybe more about the human condition than your own specific life. Would that be true, or how
I would
can
say
you
that,
explain that?
I would say that's true. I'll say that's true. Yeah, I've never thought about it like that, but yeah, mm-hmm. I would say that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of universal like. Themes and thoughts, but then there's some songs that are just very personal as well, and
yeah,
I'm just pouring out of myself.
Right, yeah. right. So that's interesting. That's interesting.
That's
that. I'm learning something here.
I'm learning
how
something
to think
here
about
too.
Music.
You're making me think a little
bit. No, I know. Oh, that's good.
That's good to think.
Well, I'm sweating it out here, so.
That's all good.
I just look like an idiot right now. That's fine.
No, you look wonderful.
I'm kidding.
I love it.
I'm kidding. This is something that I had sort of talked to you a little bit about before we went live, but, your songs, I've been thinking about this with a lot of songs about love. Mm-hmm. So I want to, you write a lot of songs about love and emotions and stuff like that. So I thought I would ask, you would be a good person to talk to about this.
Ooh, okay.
I don't understand. This is something I just don't understand. And I'm cynical. Why love is such a universal topic for music and how it is tireless in, like, how is that? I mean, I see that sometimes when I think about, I feel like that about sex in visual art sometimes. Like, I feel like sex is in everything, and I'm sometimes I do think it's overused. I will say that quite frankly, but I see music sort of having that same, pop songs about love, that's a whole, I mean, I guess that's probably what I'm most concerned about, but I'm gonna, and your music is clearly not in that category at all. But I just thought I'd put that to you since love is an issue or love is part of your music.
I think love is so, it seems so complex. There's so many different aspects of love. And I think it's something that we all desire. Even if you say it, if you don't say it, I think we all desire love in some type of way. It's a natural part of all of us. And there's so many aspects of it. And some people will pull sex off of love, or sex is just you don't have to be in love to have sex. That's for sure.
No, yeah.
But
it's a fact. There is a connection there.
Yeah, there's a connection. Well, yeah, it's supposed to be a connection there.
we know that, like, they're connected.
Yeah. I think it's so complex, and I think there's so many things you can pull from it. And that's identifiable to so many people. I think that's why it's always prevalent in music. Mm-hmm. It's like the tireless topic. Like, you cannot hit it enough. It's like, that sounds like something sexual. I just said, you can't hit it enough.
Oh, no, no, that's where your mind, that's where my mind is taking you. I'm the one who's like, hey, yeah, it's the voice. How do you not think of sex with your voice? I mean, I'd probably like go nuts if I had to hear my own radio show.
But really, I think that it's just, there's so much you can get from love, you know?
So I was thinking about asking you a little bit about that on a personal level. Can we do that?
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Because I feel like love is idealized in music. And have you been in love?
I've definitely been in love. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have.
And so can I ask you about that one relationship? Can we isolate that relationship?
Okay.
So that one relationship, like, how long was that relationship for?
That one was for, I'd say 8 years.
Wow.
Good amount of time.
And how was that? Like, I'm asking you because I'm very cynical, like we said. And when I think about love, I think about it in a much more pragmatic, less gooey way.
Okay.
And I think that you think about it, and I could be wrong, but I'm projecting that you think about it in a really gooey way. And was the love that you had in that relationship gooey, like I'm imagining, or what was love in that relationship? Like, how would you describe that kind of love and compare it to your music? Is it like the song? Is it like that beautiful and, that beauty, like the song? Or tell me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I wouldn't say that it was beautiful like the song, and it was not beautiful at all, really. I do think of love in a gooey type of way. I think I'm a romantic type of person. I think in general, And I think that love in music is idealized. I think there's projections of what love looks like. But I don't think that when I was in love in that particular moment, that person, I don't think it necessarily looked like what I thought it would look like, or what I hear on the radio, or what people are projecting. Love is very complex, and real love, I think, goes beyond a lot of that gooey stuff.
Hmm.
The gooey stuff is cute, and it keeps it, I guess it could keep it fresh, or that's just kind of who I am. But in the end, the real deal is far more
messy and ugly.
Messy and ugly, and it requires real vulnerability, which is something that I think is hard to give up.
Yeah.
In some people. Some people are very easily vulnerable. I'm not a very, even though I'm a gooey person, I'm not a very, it's not easy for me to get real vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That's something that happens over time.
But did you have like romance the whole 8 years? On and off?
No. It was definitely on and off. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to, now you made me feel better, because even though your relationship wasn't perfect, you still like immediately went to the concept of love. Immediately. Like you loved that. You were in love.
Yeah, I was in love at that time.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that. We're going to have to do a station ID. Oh,
okay.
And then, you know what I was thinking? We were going to play another one of your songs. I wanted to ask you if you would consider singing it a cappella. You can say no, we'll play the pre-record. I didn't ask you this. I'm asking this live on air. It's not fair. How do you feel about that?
Oh, singing this particular song?
Yeah.
I can sing a piece of it. I think I feel weird singing.
Would you rather sing it? Would you rather me play it, or you sing it a cappella? I'm kind of wanting you to sing a cappella, but you don't have to. You're the artist.
You know what?
It's not fair. I'm not asking you a fair question. I'm going to do... Oh, sorry.
We can.
Okay. I'm going to do the station ID, and then you can decide. Okay. Here's the station ID. This is Dr. Lisa from Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, coming to you from the best radio station in the world, Western Hemisphere, but I think we're taking over the whole world now. And I'm with this amazing and interesting and much less idealistic than I originally thought, artist Thurston Ray. And he and other musicians, other bands, are performing tonight at this really great showcase that Radio Free Brooklyn has curated at The Well. And The Well is on Meserol Street in Bushwick, and the show starts at 8:30. And what else? I think I said that all. I think I said that all. Thurston is going to be on at 8:30, so you should come. He says he really likes his band. We'll see. We'll see. And you should also donate some money to us. You know that this is coming to you for nothing.
Give up the dollars.
You know, and we don't even exploit our listeners the way like Facebook and Google does. The least you could do is support something that has integrity, okay? So let's go and see if Thurston, I don't want to put pressure on you. A cappella, or I'll play the song. It's up to you.
I can do, I'll do a cappella if you, I can do that.
Let's okay, do it. All right, yeah. Cool. Okay, I really wanted to hear your voice live.
Okay.
I'm so pleased. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we'll do...
any song you want.
Okay, I'll do the song.
Okay, tell us what song it is.
This is called I'm Here.
Okay.
I need to snap my fingers at least. Yeah. I woke up this morning... I wiped the cold out of my eyes, needed to get ready. I need to start each day off right. I wanted a phone call or a text, something from you to let me know that you were thinking of me too. You make me vulnerable, and I don't know why. Can't get enough of you, no matter how I try, and I just wanna know that you know that I'm here. Yeah. I just wanna know that you know that I'm here. Because everybody wants to be heard, and everybody wants to be seen. But I just wanna know that you know that I'm here. I'm here. Yeah.
Whoa, yeah. What did I tell you guys? Wasn't that awesome? You can't hear that anywhere. That was just for us. That was amazing. How did that feel? That was so great. That was really risky. I mean, I applaud you. I applaud you in every way.
Oh, thank you.
How did that feel? Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah? You were like, you're used to that shit.
Yeah, we do it.
Yeah, you're pro.
I just, just.
So now I'm imagining like being with a guy who's singing that to you. Like if I was with, like, I would go nuts. Do you use that on your dates or your partners or whoever?
No.
How do they treat you? How do like people that aren't musicians, do you date people or have you had relationships with people that aren't musicians? Are they all musicians?
Most of the time they're not musicians.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
but my dating life has been very
sparse.
Stagnant. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's because of this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You got this going on. How can you do this and date, right?
It's been it's kind of that thing that I'll get to it later. I'm kind of like focused on I guess the music and just trying to stay above water here in New York City.
are you is that really a choice or do you wish you were dating more?
I think it's a choice. I think it's a choice and also it is a choice. I think that I choose, I could put energy towards it if I wanted to, but a lot of times it's just, I choose not to because I feel like other things are more important. Or maybe not more important. In this point in time, other things are more important for me to put my time towards.
Yeah.
But I believe love is important.
Yeah, so, no, but I get that because really dating, it's always so crazy to me. Like you have to go out with like you spend four meetings. Like you have to go out on these meetings with strangers.
Meetings.
And you don't know if you're going to really, after the third meeting, that could be like 10 hours of your time and you don't know if you're going to want to ever see them again.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Like it's a big commitment just to try and meet somebody in a non-organic way.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. You can ask me a question.
How long have you been married? I'm just curious.
Okay. So I've been with my partner, Phil, for just about 20 years in September, but I've only been married since 2010, and we were engaged for 5 years before that where I really didn't want to get married. There's actually a movie a friend of ours made, a documentary filmmaker, about me not wanting to get married.
Oh.
That was at the Bushwick Film Festival.
Oh, I want to see that.
So, why do you ask that question, or what's interesting about it to you?
Oh, just curious, just curious where you were coming from, because I like I grew up when my mom and dad they got married when they got out of high school,
mm-hmm.
and they've been married since for mega years, mm-hmm. and so I'm used to people sticking in there.
Marriage seriously.
I would take marriage seriously. I think that's why I don't want to get married, because I don't know if I can. I don't know. That could be that. I don't know. I don't have that desire to be married. I don't know.
You got a really high example of it to follow. I mean, Jesus.
As far as the time, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. But we all walk our own life, our own steps.
But I could see it being a little confusing. Also, yeah. I have to say, getting married at age 54 makes it a lot easier, because by the time I got married, I mean, I didn't want to have kids, but you know, I have a stepson who I love dearly. That stuff was all I'd already had I had my career. I have all this shit worked out.
Yeah.
So I was very independent by the time I got married, and it wasn't, which is a whole other thing, because then you're trying to meld two lives together, which isn't easy to do either. But it's just different, you know?
I think I have my own little, I mean, this is kind of opening up something else, but I think I have my own commitment issues. And that's, this is Dr. Lisa. I'm talking to Dr. Lisa.
Yeah.
But I think I have my own little commitment issues.
Really? Yeah. Well, you had a relationship for 8 years.
Yeah.
And how long ago did that end?
That's been, it's before I moved to New York. So it's been 12
years ago?
At least 12 years ago.
And when was the last time you had a year relationship more than a year? 12 years ago.
Probably so. 12 years ago.
So can I ask you how that relationship ended?
I have friends that have lasted for a long time. But
well, that doesn't count. Those are your friends. I'm sure you have plenty of lovely friends and great relationships.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, but that's not you. That's deflection. We pick up on that, crappy shrinks. So, it's a good question. I mean, I would say we have, 15, 20 minutes left, but which we're not going to solve this, but I would say it's something worth thinking about. It seems like, you seem like a happy guy with a great life, and he's really hot. So there's no, and smart and talented. So it's obviously a choice or whatever. I'm sure that you'd have plenty of opportunities, but something that you're just, can I ask you how the relationship ended, that 8-year relationship?
It ended not in good terms. It wasn't.
Was there cheating?
There was cheating involved, yeah.
From the other side?
Both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because I think cheating, and I don't have an answer to this at all, but this isn't pure observation that I've noticed among people, thank God, as far as I know, I haven't been hit with that particular disaster. I've had plenty of other ones, but I have not really suffered that particular one. But from my observation is that people who have, particularly people who have been cheated on, mm-hmm. Do have a really hard time trusting again. Because I know a lot of people in a similar situation, and not just people I know personally, but people come on or they'll talk about that, and it seems really common.
Yeah.
There's probably something really profound about that.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I was younger and
it's common.
Yeah, it's common. I mean, I think that whenever I get into another relationship, if it happens or if it doesn't, whatever, if I ever get into a relationship, I want to be completely ready and know that I want to be mm-hmm. in that relationship and not messing up.
Do you think monogamy is really unnatural? In my opinion, monogamy is really unnatural. It's a discipline, and that we have to assume. And I know the feminists are going to kill me for saying this, but I think quite often, not in every case, it's easier for women to be monogamous, even though we don't want to do it either. Do you think that, do you have a hard time perhaps trusting yourself to be monogamous? I mean, do you feel like a lot of pressure like about being monogamous? I mean,
no, I don't feel that. I don't feel a lot of pressure.
That's not in your way.
I don't think that's in my way. No. I think for me, I don't like to hurt people, and I don't like to be hurt. Who does? Nobody likes to be hurt. Come on now. That sounds like everybody, no one wants to be hurt. But I think I'm very cautious when it gets to making a commitment, because I don't want to, I want to make sure that I'm 100% there. For me, when I commit to something, if I say I'm going to do it, then I'm usually going to do it. That's like right. with music, with life, with,
right.
Even things that I probably should back out of later on because, wait a second, this was not a good idea. I'll still see it through. That's kind of how I am.
That's great.
You know, and I, my band members know that, and people that know me pretty much know that.
I applaud that.
But when it comes to, so that's why I think that's part of the reason why I haven't really jumped into it, because I know if I commit to it, then I'll have to see it through, and I don't want to let anybody down.
That's a lot of But what about, like, do you ever think, like, here's an attractive person, maybe I'll go out and have a drink with them and maybe even, like, kiss them or hold their hand or do something like that and never see them again, or maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'll take it. Like, do you ever think, like, it would be, like, an entertaining evening just to go out on a date? Do you do that?
I have, yeah. I think it's
I have. When? Like, 10 years ago? No. Now, is that something that you do regularly or do once a month or do at least 5 to 10 times a year?
Maybe at least five.
You're really pushing it. Maybe. You're really pushing it. What do you think one of your bandmates would say about, if I asked him, we should get him on the phone. What do you think one of your bandmates would say if I said, what's the deal with Thurston's dating life? What do you think they would say?
They probably would say that they wouldn't know much because I don't say much.
They'd probably say, I don't know. I really wonder about it because he's a great guy and people really respond to him, but yeah. I never see him on a date. He never introduces us to anyone.
As I'm sitting here, I'm realizing that, yeah, that's an area that I write about and I sing about and I put into my music a lot. The desire, the want, the all that. But I don't share it a lot.
I'm feeling this is, I jumped out of my seat, so I got to shut up. So, I was just wondering if, that you're afraid that if you actually take action, it's going to take away from the music, that this desire in you will be diffused. Do you ever worry about that?
I do sometimes worry about, I won't say the desire will be diffused necessarily. I do sometimes think that the music and what I'm reaching for will get in the way of a relationship being something wonderful. The time and the energy and
I mean, like, you wouldn't be a good partner.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think about that.
But you could make that clear right on the first date.
That's true. Things that you say are very true.
I wonder if you're afraid of you're afraid of letting people down somehow.
I think that's
a theme in your life. Maybe
you're hitting the nail on the head. My family. I love my family to death, but they are, you know, very active in the community, back home, and they take care of people. They're that type of people. So I think that I have taken on that a lot. I find myself taking care of people. And I think that has something to do with it. I think I think you hit something there.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you're in a relationship, you want to make sure this person's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not your problem.
You're right. It's not.
It's not.
It should be naturally.
No, I mean, if they're miserable, they're miserable. Yeah. They're lucky they have you, but on top of that, they happen to be miserable people. And if they're going to be miserable all the time and you don't want to be around them, that's your call. I think your family sounds really perfect. That's the problem. So do you have brothers or sisters?
I have two older sisters and no one, we're definitely not perfect, but I do have two older sisters. Yeah.
Are they married?
No.
And
I had to think about it because.
But do they have partners?
Yes.
One so they're does. Both, and the other one?
No.
So relationships don't run in your generation or?
That's interesting. Yeah. I think, It's an interesting thing. My mom and dad, you know, they were in the zone. They got married and they saw it through. My sisters and I, we've kind of forged a different path, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Are they more like, quote unquote, I'm going to call you rebellious because you're in New York and your family's from a small town. So are they rebellious like you?
No, I wouldn't consider them rebellious.
Do they live near your family?
They live a little closer. They live closer in that there's like
more a, part of that.
Yeah, D.C., Maryland, that area.
Yeah.
I live the furthest probably. Yeah, mm-hmm. from most mm-hmm. of my family.
But it sounds like they've got really, I'm going to say, strict values, maybe. Do they? Like really, really good ones. Like really, like do you think about whether they're going to respect you in your day-to-day life? Whether, you know, in some level, is this something my family would respect?
I think it's ingrained in me. I think so. I think in some ways, I think about what, even though I'm got the rebellious side, there's times when I definitely think about, wonder what, you know, what they would think, or
you want to do the right thing. I mean,
want to do the right thing. Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. We don't want you to change that at all.
The right. Yeah.
But it's a harder road because people, these musician people are so rebellious and they don't give a shit about a lot of stuff that you do probably, you know, be, you know, like know, fuck it, doing what I say I'm going to do and all that shit.
I guess it depends.
You know, come on. They're like, hey, I was really, you know, I was wasted last night. Sorry I'm late. Oh, it's a musician. You know, that's not the stereotype. What do I know? Everyone that comes in here as a musician has their shit together because they usually are fronting a band or something. It's a big deal. That's a big deal.
I think this is being in here in New York. You know, you have a lot of musicians who came here to New York specifically to make music and create and get with other artists. So there's a lot of serious people around here, I think, that are on top of this stuff.
Yeah, the people you probably hang out with probably are. Well, so I'm going to ask you this question too about religion. So there's a part of you that has a religious nature, let's put it that way. Does that separate you from a lot of people here? I just don't know. Or do you find that, I'm not making any, does that sound judgmental? I hope not. I'm just saying, like, your interest or your background in religion, is that separate you from, does that something that you protect, or is that something that, I'm probably projecting here because my parents were also cynical about religion. So just tell me what you think.
I don't think it separates me per se.
No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty much,
I'm probably thinking about my old roommate who went to church secretly every Sunday. I'm not kidding you. I had a roommate when I first moved to New York, and she went to church secretly every Sunday. And then, and she was a virgin, like way like into her, I mean, she was almost 30 at the time. Mm-hmm. And she would go out on these dates, and she was like a really like cool chick, and she like everybody was always shocked. And then she didn't. Then we were like, why doesn't she ever get past the first date? And then after a while of living there, I was like, oh, yeah. If you want to stay a virgin at this day and age, that's going to be an obstacle. Well, I'm glad we kind of like, you know, it is a lot to think about. Yeah. And like the thing about your family is it sounds like I can see the way you present, the way your face lights up and your connection to them is visceral.
Oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. They're very supportive. I love my family.
Yeah. And that's great. And they probably also give you so much emotion that sustains you and maybe makes you less needy or less, you know, like, I mean, we were talking about loneliness. I mean, if you're like, I mean, I was a loner. So you wind up feeling like I was a loner from my family. So you wind up feeling like, oh, you got to get it somewhere. But take your time, man. I want to play. I want to do, I want to, I want to.
Taking my time.
Yeah, take your time, man. I want to remind people once again that this is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm here with Thurston Ray, and Thurston is going to be performing live at 8:30 tonight at The Well, along with some other bands that are also super fabulous.
Yes, Dietrich.
And what are, let me see if I can, oh, Jesus, do you know the names offhand? This
the so Lord, the Lord Calverts. The Lord Calverts, I think it's.
Yeah.
And Dietrich. I believe that's how you say the name. Yeah. I heard all of their music online, and they are some fun. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a great night. Yeah. I know that. I'm excited. I know that. Yeah.
And a music video release from Dietrich, I believe.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
You're going to get a lot of different energy tonight. Come out.
So we're going to play the third song. We're going to go to. Stay tuned after the show. We're going to end on the song, but stay tuned and listen to Lost and Rewound, which is an awesome show by Alan Danziger, who's really funny and plays music, and you'll love him. So we're going to this last song for this hour called Chasing Chances.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Because of my fears, thought all hope was gone, and then you appeared. Found that I was wrong, and love is right here. Something truly sincere, and there's no need to fear. But I was scared my past mistakes would haunt my own fate. I hurt someone before, thought it was too late. But love came right around, smacked me in the face, and it said, take a chance. Here's your time for romance, and now I'm chasing chances, finding my way back to love. Chasing chances, finding my way back with you. Chasing chances, finding my way back to love. That I had the answer, that true love wasn't something for me. Thought I knew all that really mattered. Then you came my way. Now every day I am chasing a chance, revealing the truth. This vulnerable heart longs for true love, and it needs it and wants it, and I'm taking a chance for it, knowing that one day maybe true love will truly find me.
Chasing chances,
finding my way back to love.
Chasing chances,
finding my way back with you.
My own.
Chasing chances, finding my way back to love.
You can take a chance, just chase a chance. Oh, what a way, yeah, to take a chance.